Jnananjana-shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? But yesterday we were discussing the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction. Has anyone memorized it? Can you recite it? Very good. So, vacho vegam, the urge to speak. The urge to speak is controlled when we speak only of Krishna. Manasa krodha vegam, the urge of the mind. The mind is controlled. How is the mind controlled?
Thinking of Krishna's service.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot control your mind. So just serve Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya will control your mind. Of course, another suggestion given by Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas is to chant Hare Krishna loudly. If other thoughts are entering the mind, chanting loudly can drive them out. Krodha vegam, anger, anger is useful to remove obstacles. But we should not become angry when there are obstacles to our sense gratification, because we should not have any desire for sense gratification. But if there are obstacles to Krishna's satisfaction, we can use anger to remove the obstacles. Jiva vegam, to control the tongue. We can control the tongue by eating Krishna prasad. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that if we take prasad because of the taste, not because we really need it, but because of the taste, then we also come under the dictates of the tongue. But some devotees raised the point that new devotees do not have to worry about how much prasad they take or why they take it. which is true. And the discussion did raise an important point, which is that different instructions apply in different degrees to different devotees. Throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, and especially in the Nectar of Instruction, we will find many instructions which may even appear to conflict. But actually they do not conflict. But different instructions are meant for different devotees in different situations. And each devotee should be intelligent enough to know what his position is and what instructions are appropriate for him. For example, in the matter of eating, Srila Prabhupada said that overeating is a good mistake for a young person, and undereating is a good mistake for an old person. So, if I say that if you're in doubt whether to eat more or not, you should eat less, it won't be true in all cases. It may be true for an older person, but not for a younger person. And if I say that if you're not sure whether to eat more or not, you should eat more, it also won't be true in all cases. So, when we hear the instructions given in the book or in any discussion, we may have to evaluate. If there seems to be some contradiction, we may have to evaluate what instruction is actually appropriate for us. And of course, to evaluate properly, we can take help from Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. They can help us to understand in context which instruction is appropriate. Then we come to the belly, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. The tongue, the belly, and the genitals all come in a straight line. And if one gives in to the demands of the tongue, then he can have trouble controlling the belly and the genitals. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes some instructions of Lord Chaitanya given to Raghunath Das Goswami. So we'll read the relevant section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 6. Lord Chaitanya meets Raghunath Das Goswami. Text 219. Keha chache magikaya yeva kichupaya Keha rache bhikshalagi singha dwari raya. It is a custom for some Vaishnavs to beg from the charity booths and eat whatever they attain, where the others stand at night at the Singha Dwara gate, begging alms from the servants. So Raghunath Das Goswami used to stand at the Singha Dwara gate and beg food, prasad, from the servants of the temple as they would come out of the gate in the evening. Mahaprabhura bhaktaganera vairagya pradana yahadeki pritahana gora bhagavan. Renunciation is the basic principle sustaining the lives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. Seeing this renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is extremely satisfied. What is the basic principle that sustains the lives of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya? Renunciation. Prabhure Govinda Kahe Raghunath Prasad Nalaya Rache Singha Dware Kada Hana Magikaya. Govinda said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because when Raghunath Das first came to Jagannath Puri, he used to take prasad arranged by Lord Chaitanya's servants, but then he stopped and he began to beg alms from the servants at the Singha Dwara. Govinda said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das no longer takes prasad here. Now he stands at the Singha Dwara, where he begs some alms to eat. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was greatly satisfied. Raghunath Das has done well, he said. He has acted suitably for a person in the renounced order. Vairagi karibe sada nama sankirtana magya kanaha kare jivana rakshana. A person in the renounced order should always chant the holy name of the Lord. He should beg some alms to eat, and he should sustain his life in this way. Vairagi hana yeba kare parapeksha karya siddhi nahe krishna kare na upeksha. A person in the renounced order should not depend on others. If he does so, he will be unsuccessful and he will be neglected by Krishna. Vairagi hana kare jivara lalasa Paramartha yaya arahaya raseravasa. If a renunciant is eager for his tongue to taste different foods, his spiritual life will be lost, and he will be subservient to the tastes of his tongue. Vairagira kritya sadanama sankirtana shakapatra falamule udara barana. The duty of a person in the renounced order is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra also. He should satisfy his belly with whatever vegetables, leaves, fruits, and roots are available. Jivara lalaseye iti uti daya shishnodara paranaya Krishna nahi paya. One who is subservient to the tongue and who thus goes here and there, devoted to the genitals and the belly, cannot attain Krishna. So here is the real point, that we want to attain Krishna, love for Krishna. And if we become subservient to the demands of the tongue and the belly and the genitals, we will not be able to attain Krishna and love for Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has given the instruction not to become subservient to the urges of the tongue, the belly, and the genitals, so that we can progress step by step by following his instructions in Upadeshamrita and ultimately attain Krishna. That is the purpose. Aradina Raghunatha Swarupa Charane Apanara Krityalagi Kailane Vedane. The next day, Raghunath Das inquired at the lotus feet of Swarup Damodar about his duty. I do not know why I have given up household life, he said. What is my duty? Kindly give me instructions. Raghunath Das never even spoke a word before the Lord. Instead, he informed the Lord of his desires through Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda. The next day, Swarup Damodar Goswami submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das has this to say at your lotus feet. I do not know my duty or the goal of my life. Therefore, please personally give me instructions from your transcendental mouth. Smiling, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, I have already appointed Swarup Damodar Goswami as your instructor. You may learn from him what your duty is and how to discharge it. I do not know as much as he. Nevertheless, if you want to take instructions from me with faith and love, you may ascertain your duties from the following words. Gramya katha na shunibe, gramya varta na kahibe, bala na kahibe ara bala na paribe. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. This is controlling the tongue. Gramya varta na kahibe, do not speak ordinary news. Gramya katha na shunibe, do not hear ordinary talks. Gramya varta na kahibe, do not speak ordinary news. Bala na kahibe, do not eat opulent foodstuffs. Ara bala na paribe, and do not dress in luxurious garments. Translation. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress very nicely. 236. Amani manadahana Krishna namasadalabe Vraje Radha Krishna Seva Mana Se Karibe. Do not expect honor, but offer all respects to others. Always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, and within your mind render service to Radha and Krishna. So here Lord Chaitanya has given the same instructions as Rupa Goswami has given here. Do not eat very palatable food means to control the tongue and the belly. And do not dress very nicely. Why? Do not dress very nicely means do not be in the bodily concept of life. And especially do not dress thinking of how to attract the opposite party. Amanina mananda. Do not desire honor for yourself, but give all respect to others. This is a demand of the mind to be honored, to be worshipped, to be praised. So we should give up such mental concoctions. And always chant the holy name of Lord Krishna that engages the tongue. And within your mind, render service to Radha and Krishna that engages the mind. So, these are some of the qualities of devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam lists so many qualities of devotees, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following Srimad Bhagavatam also lists 26 qualities, like truthfulness, which is also austerity of speech, or not eating more than necessary is also one of the 26 qualities. But again, the 26 qualities in and of themselves are not bhakti, except for one. That is Krishnaika Sharana, means complete surrender to Krishna. So the other 25 qualities are important when they are in relation to surrender to Krishna. But without surrender to Krishna, the other qualities have no special value. As we discussed yesterday, Hiranyakasipu was extremely austere. When he was standing on the tips of his toes and keeping his arms upstretched, he tolerated every urge of the tongue, the belly, the genitals, the mind. But the purpose was not to please Krishna. The purpose was not to develop love for Krishna. The purpose was to get some material power, which he actually wanted to use against Krishna. So again, the principal process is hearing and chanting about Krishna. And along with the principal process, we should learn to tolerate the urges of the senses, or control the senses by engaging them in service when required, or not engaging them at all. Bhagavad Gita gives the example of the tortoise. The tortoise extends its limbs outside the shell when there is need to use the limbs for some work. Otherwise, the tortoise keeps the limbs within the shell. You understand tortoise? So in the same way, we should engage our senses externally when there is need for Krishna's service. But if there's no need for Krishna's service, we should be satisfied within. Satisfied within means chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and thinking of how to serve Radha and Krishna, how to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to serve Guru and Vaishnavas. After some time, Raghunath Das gave up the practice of begging alms from the servants. And he finally came to the point where he would go to the booths where prasad was distributed. And the prasad that had gone bad after one or two days and thrown in the ditch for the cows to eat, Raghunath Das used to take those old grains of rice and remove the outer portion of the grain and just eat the inner portion. He became so renounced, so renounced. So Raghunath Das Goswami is our acharya, our exemplar. Text 3.13. Pranaraksha lagi eva karina bakshana taha kahan apana ke kahe nirved bakshan. Whatever he ate was only to keep his body and soul together. And when he ate, he would reproach himself thus. Atmanam chet vijani yat param jnana dutashaya kim ichan kasya vahe tor deham pushnati lampata. If one's heart has been cleansed by perfect knowledge and one has understood Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, he then gains everything. Why should such a person act like a debauchee by trying very carefully to maintain his material body? So here we also get a clue how to restrain the senses or tolerate the urges. We should know that we are not the body. Atmanam chet vijaniyat. If one understands Atma, there are two Atmas, Jivatma and Paramatma. So we should understand both, that we are not the body, we are Atma. And we are servant of the Supreme Atma, or Krishna. If one has this knowledge, then why should he run here and there trying to gratify the senses of the body? So, in the last line of this verse, someone who's able to control the urges or tolerate the urges is called what? Dhira. Dhira. And what is the definition of dhira given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? Sober. But what verse describes a sober person in Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Dehi nosmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara yata dehantara prapti dhiras tatra namuyate. One who does not identify with the body, who's not bewildered by the changes of the body, is dhira. So the biggest change is death. But there are so many changes within the present body as well. Child's body becomes youth's body, youth's body becomes adult's body becomes old body. But one who is dhira will not be bewildered by such changes. So in the same way, he won't be bewildered by hunger, thirst, or any of the demands of the body. He will tolerate them. And he will be fixed in his duties to Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami, even though he was so exalted, or because he was so exalted, he would reproach himself, thinking of himself as an ordinary man who was worried about the body, trying to take care of the body, and so on, like a debauchee. Prasadana pasarira yatana vikaya duitina dinahaila bata sadiyaya. Lord Jagannath's prasad is sold by shopkeepers, and that which is not sold decomposes after 2 or 3 days. All the decomposed food is thrown before the cows from Tailanga at the Singhadwara gate. Because of its rotten odor, even the cows cannot eat it. At night, Raghunath Das would collect that decomposed rice, bring it home, and wash it with ample water. Then he ate the hard inner portion of the rice with salt. One day, Swarup Damodar saw the activities of Raghunath Das. Thus he smiled and asked for a small portion of that food and ate it. Swarup Damodar said, "You eat such nectar every day, but you never offer it to us. Where is your character?" When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the news from the mouth of Govinda, he went there the next day and spoke as follows. Kanavastu kao save morana deka kene etabali eka grasa karila bakshane. What nice things you are eating. Why don't you give anything to me? Saying this, he forcibly took a morsel and began to eat. Aragrasa laite swarup hate te darila tava yogya nahe bali bale kadinila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking another morsel of food, Swarup Damodar caught him by the hand and said, "It is not fit for you." Thus he forcibly took the food away. Prabhubale niti niti nana prasadakai Aiche Swada Arakona Prasadena Pai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Of course, every day I eat varieties of prasad, but I have never tasted such nice prasad as that which Raghunath is eating." What is the meaning? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say so? Can anyone guess? Lord Chaitanya was showing his appreciation for Raghunath Das, saying that ordinary people might think that one who is enjoying varieties of palatable food is more fortunate. But according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das is more fortunate. Even Lord Chaitanya said that although he eats varieties of food every day, he is not able to taste such nectar as Raghunath Das. And actually the nectar is Krishna consciousness. Nectar is Krishna consciousness. So by giving up all other interests except Krishna consciousness, Raghunath Das was tasting the greatest nectar. And sense gratification is actually poison. It kills the desire for self-realization. Seeing the severe penances performed by Raghunath Das and the renounced order, the Lord was greatly satisfied. I'll read one more verse that came at the beginning in conclusion. Ananta guna Raghunathera ke karibeleka Raghunathera niyama ena prasanareka. Who could list the unlimited transcendental attributes of Raghunath Das? His strict regulative principles were exactly like lines on a stone. Lines on a stone can never be erased. So Raghunath Das's regulative principles could never be washed out. Sade sata praharayaya kirtana smarane ahara nidra charidanda sehanahe kona dine. Raghunath Das spent more than 22 hours out of every 24 chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He ate and slept for less than an hour and a half. And on some days, that also was impossible. So the real point was that he had so much taste for chanting Hare Krishna and remembering Lord Krishna that he lost taste for the sense enjoyment. He didn't even want to sleep. He hardly slept. Because of his strength of Krishna consciousness. When we were in Gorakhpur in 1971, Srila Prabhupada was speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya. Story of Ajamil from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, after one class, Srila Prabhupada asked one disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and said that the class was wonderful. Or Srila Prabhupada asked him, how did you like the class? He said the class was wonderful. Then Srila Prabhupada asked, what did the other devotees think of the class? And the disciple replied, well, frankly speaking, Srila Prabhupada, most of the devotees were sleeping while you were speaking. Then, one morning, while Srila Prabhupada was speaking, he noticed that almost all the devotees were asleep while he was speaking. So, Srila Prabhupada himself raised the question, why you are sleeping while I'm speaking? What to do? So one devotee suggested that we shouldn't eat heavy prasad before we take rest. Another devotee suggested that they should take rest earlier. So different devotees made different suggestions. But Srila Prabhupada concluded that none of the ideas would work. He said, even if you don't take any food at night, you'll still sleep during class. Even if you take rest early, you'll still sleep during class. He said, you will give up sleeping when you feel that Krishna consciousness is so important that you have no time to sleep. So again, positive interest in Krishna consciousness is the only real way to overcome the demands of the body. Of course, it develops gradually. And in the meantime, we have to struggle But really we have to become Krishna conscious. Like Srila Prabhupada used to get up after only, like Raghunath Das Goswami, he would only sleep 1 or 2 hours, and he would get up in the middle of the night and translate, write books. Why? Did anyone tell him that he had to do it? Was anyone watching him, ready to report him if he didn't do it? No. But he himself felt the urgency of presenting his translations of the scriptures. And he felt ecstasy. He said that his purports were his personal ecstasies. So he felt ecstasy in his service. And therefore he left eating, sleeping, and everything. So this is the only real way to succeed. But still we should try to tolerate the urges of the senses. And that will help us progress. Vairagyera katha tanra adbhuta katana ajanma na dila jivaya rase rasparshana. Topics concerning his renunciation are wonderful. Throughout his life, he never allowed his tongue sense gratification. After Raghunath Das Goswami left Jagannath Puri, he came to Vrindavan, to Govardhan, to Radhakund. And he would only eat 1 leaf cup of buttermilk, chas, every 2 or 3 days. So one time Raghunath Das fell ill, and some of his devotees were concerned about his health, so they called a doctor. So the doctor felt his pulse and gave his diagnosis that Raghunath Das was suffering from indigestion due to overeating. So all the disciples became astonished, and they didn't accept the doctor's diagnosis. But then Raghunath Das himself said, yes, it is true. Because last night in the spiritual world, we had a big feast, and I ate too much. It is true. Chindakani kanta vina napare vasana sarvadane prabhura kaila agyana padaya. He never touched anything to wear except a small torn cloth and a patchwork wrapper. Thus he very rigidly executed the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now I come to the point. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. The principle of very rigidly carrying out the order of the spiritual master must be observed. The spiritual master gives different orders to different people. For example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami to preach. And he ordered Raghunath Das Goswami to strictly follow the rules and regulations of the renounced order. All 6 Goswamis strictly followed the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the principle for progress in devotional service. After receiving an order from the spiritual master, one must strictly try to execute the order. That is the way of success. So again, the spiritual master may give different instructions to different disciples. So the success of the disciple will be how far he executes the order of the spiritual master given to him in particular. But here, these are general instructions for everyone.
that we should be sober and tolerate the urges of the senses, so there will be no impediment or no distraction in our service to Krishna. And then at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse of Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that those who cannot control their senses, for those who have decided to continue their existence, page 14, in the material world, for the gratification of their senses, there is no chance of becoming Krishna conscious. They are dragged by the unbridled senses into the darkest region of ignorance. So that's why we have to control the senses, so we can, on the one hand, save ourselves from going to hell, and on the other hand, make advancement towards the goal of Krishna consciousness. So we'll go on to text 2. Ati ahara prayasa cha prajalpa niyama agraha jana sangha cha lolyam cha sadbi bhakti vinashyati. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha loyam cha sadbir bhaktir vinashyati. Atyahara prayasascha ati ahara, overeating, or too much collecting, prayasa, over endeavoring, cha, and prajalpa, idle talking, niyama, rules and regulations. Agraha, too much attachment to. Or agraha, too much neglect of. Janasangha, association with worldly minded persons. Cha, and lolyam, ardent longing, or greed. Cha, and sadbi, by these six. Bhakti, devotional service. Vinashyati, is destroyed. So atyahara means too much eating or too much collecting of things. If one wants to enjoy too much palatable food, or if one wants to amass too much material opulence, it destroys one's devotional service, and it involves him in prayasa, over endeavor. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes the materialists who want to enjoy more and more good food and more material opulence. And he says that if they want to enjoy more and more and amass more and more, they have to work very hard. And thus they miss the chance for devotional service. But the same impediments can come in the lives of devotees if they are not careful. And we've seen in the movement it has happened. We had one god brother, for example. He wanted to have a big castle, not only one. He had one and then he wanted another one. And in order to finance the second castle, he had to engage the devotees in collecting. The whole body of devotees was engaged mainly for collecting in order to pay the expenses of buying and maintaining the castle. So, in the guise of preaching, wanting facility to preach or whatever, we can also become involved in the items mentioned here, which we should avoid. We should really understand the principle of yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means that anasaktasya vishayan, without any attachment to the objects of the senses, we can engage the objects of the senses in the service of Krishna. But it's very important, anasaktasya vishayan, without attachment. Because if we have attachment, then our motivation will not be purely to serve Krishna. Our motivation will be to have facilities for sense gratification in the guise of devotional service. This is another impediment called duplicity, that we say that we want something for Krishna's service, but actually we want to use it for sense gratification. Of course, in the beginning, we can't distinguish very easily. So, we try to engage everything in Krishna's service. And if we become entangled, we should notice it and check ourselves and become more careful. But as we make advancement, we should be able to distinguish genuine desires to serve Krishna from other desires mixed with the desire to serve Krishna. Otherwise we become duplicitous. We have two purposes, one to serve Krishna and the other to enjoy sense gratification. And we try to get facilities in the name of serving Krishna, but actually we use the facilities for sense gratification. That is atyahara. And then in order to get the money to acquire the facility or maintain the facility, we become involved in prayasa, over endeavor. Prajalpa. Prajalpa is very common, unfortunately. It is somewhat common. The ordinary form of prajalpa is gossiping about others. And the worst form of prajalpa is blaspheming devotees, criticizing devotees. And this is especially dangerous. It is especially harmful, because by taking shelter of the Lord, one becomes free from all sinful reactions. And if one offends the Lord, he can actually become freed by taking shelter in the holy name. But if one offends the holy name, then he actually has no recourse. And the worst offense against the holy name, or the greatest offense against the holy name, is to blaspheme devotees. So we should be very careful about this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed the offense of blaspheming devotees. And he first raises the question, who is a devotee? Because unless we can know who is a devotee, we cannot determine if we are offending a devotee or criticizing a devotee. So he says a devotee is one who has the primary characteristic of surrender to Krishna. Like we mentioned, Krishnaika Sharanam. He's fully surrendered to Lord Krishna. The other 25 qualities may not have developed fully in the devotee. Some of the qualities may have developed more and some of the qualities less. But if he has the primary qualification of surrender to Krishna, or surrender to the holy name of Krishna, he is a devotee. He is considered a devotee. And the absence of some or even all of the other 25 qualities do not disqualify him as a devotee. And they do not justify criticizing him, blaming him, blaspheming him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions that one may criticize a devotee on account of his birth, low birth. One may criticize a devotee on account of his past activities, sinful activities or material activities. One may criticize a devotee because of present traces of past activities. Or one may criticize the devotee for lack of development in some of the qualities of devotees. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that none of means past sins or traces of past sins or low birth, they're not grounds for criticizing a devotee. And if one criticizes a devotee on account of such faults, he becomes implicated in Vaishnav aparad or sadhu ninda. And as and bhakti recedes at the first trace of sadhu ninda. In other words, as soon as we begin to criticize a devotee or blaspheme a devotee, bhakti goes away. Bhakti goes away. So we should be very careful about this. Of course, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises the negative injunction is don't blaspheme devotees, don't criticize devotees. The positive injunction is to appreciate devotees and glorify them. Anyway, it is a big subject, and almost all of the points in the present verse come in the subsequent verses, so we may discuss them in more detail there. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes. He says, what's the connection between the first verse and the second verse? The connection is that if the devotee is not able to tolerate the urges of the mind and senses, as described in the first verse, he'll become implicated in the activities described in the second verse, which destroy bhakti. For example, atyahara, wanting to collect more than necessary, it's a demand of the mind. So because you're not able to control the mind, he wants to acquire more and more, which he doesn't really need. Or atyahara, he wants to eat more than necessary, because he can't control the urge of the tongue, so he eats more than necessary. So the result of not being able to tolerate the urges described in verse 1 result in becoming implicated in the activities described in verse 2, which destroy bhakti.
If you could clarify the point about stealing Mahaprasadam, whether it's actually a bona fide transcendental activity or if it's just an activity of sense gratification.
What do you think?
I'm afraid my tongue is telling me the answer.
That it's all right to steal Mahaprasad. Steal from whom?
Well, say for instance, I know in the temple I come from, in the morning time, after the Mangala Arati speech offered, they put all the birthdays and sweet rice in the flower pool. So sometimes I go and take all the burpee. So just for instance. That's just for instance. Not necessarily for long.
And what happens to the burfi if it's left in the cooler?
No breakfast, they'll be
missing. Oh. Yes. Well, that's a good point. That if you think that someone else is going to steal it before it's distributed, then you should steal it. Yes, in the back? Why is a Mahatma called broad-minded? Mahat means great. So a Mahat or devotee is a person who surrenders to Mahat or Krishna, who is the supreme great. So by thinking of Krishna, because Krishna includes everything, by thinking of Krishna, we think of everything and everyone. Because we see that everything and everyone is the energy of Krishna. And everyone and everything should be engaged in the service of Krishna. In other words, everyone should get the chance to serve Krishna. So the devotee is broad-minded. He's not thinking in terms of me and you, or we and you, or us and them. But he sees everyone equally, because he sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And everyone has the right to serve Krishna. And everyone should be given the chance to serve Krishna. And everything should be used in the service of Krishna. Yes?
As this question of the postman said that the sham cannot be contaminated, so we already rush to the shadow. I had some discussion, for example, when some disease is on the way to the ground, it falls on the school and the animal, and he still did it. And now he used to rush it, so I haven't confused about it.
The prasadam doesn't become contaminated, but you can become affected. You understand?
How I saw this is the shadow could become contaminated, but if you speak or hold it or eat it in this way, they can affect my body.
True. Because again, different devotees have different levels. Prahlad Maharaj was administered poison, but he had such faith in prasadam, he was not affected. But we cannot imitate Prahlad Maharaj. And if we take prasad which is infected, we may become diseased. But Prahlad Maharaj would not become affected. So we should not imitate. The same point, we should know our level and act accordingly. Actually, everyone should get some Mahaprasad. We shouldn't be lusty to have more and more Mahaprasad. And we should be broad-minded, that why should I take all the Maha and everyone else should get nothing. Actually, everyone should get a little Mahaprasad.
The advice is given that if we sit in some falls, then we have to neglect and rather think of a good qualities to the person. But on the other hand, it is also advice that one has to be very careful in choosing association. And if we don't recognize some qualities in somebody, we can be affected by association with this person, so how do not be offensive in one's dealing with others, and at the same time, do not fail to do the same thing in the judge of being entering in association with others with some.
You've asked a very good question, and we'll come in the subsequent verses to know that we should deal differently with different levels of devotees, and therefore we have to be able to evaluate different grades of devotees. If we do so with the idea of understanding how to deal with different devotees appropriately, it is not offensive. Here we're talking about prajalpa. If some, just for nothing, finding fault, criticizing, backbiting. But if we are seeing the behavior of a devotee or the qualities of a devotee, so we can know to whom we should surrender, with whom we should make friends, who we should respect from a distance, and so on. There's no offense. There's no offense. And even if we see a fault in a devotee, and we don't have any malice towards a devotee, you know, any ill will or any envy, but for the sake of the devotee, or for the sake of the movement, we want the devotee to improve, then also there's no offense. So, being aware of a fault in a devotee does not in and of itself constitute an offense. What constitutes an offense is the mentality of finding fault, criticizing, blaspheming, for nothing, without any constructive end at all. And it is actually the duty of a
the authority of a devotee to correct the devotee if he makes a mistake, and if it's serious enough and if it needs to be mentioned, then he should correct the devotee. You see, the Madhyam Vaishnav should distinguish. The Kanishtha Vaishnav cannot distinguish in any case. He can't distinguish. And he tends to think that he's better than everyone else. Everyone else is lower than him. The Kanishtha Vaishnav, he can distinguish. He can understand the scripture. He studies the scripture. He can understand the scripture and he can apply it and see who is in what position relatively in devotional service. And the Uttama Vaishnav, he sees that everyone else is devotee except him. He sees that everyone is higher than him. So, we should not, I'm not saying that you're not an Uttama Vaishnava, but if you're not, I don't want to commit any offense, but if you're not, you shouldn't artificially try to see that you are the lowest and everyone else is higher than you. That vision will automatically develop as you make advancement. But in the intermediate position, when you're seriously studying the scriptures and trying to understand how to apply the teachings in practical devotional service, then you should distinguish, as Rupa Goswami advises later in Padeshamrita. So I think, okay, we'll take one more question. Okay, three more. But if they're going to come up, if the answers can come up later, we may answer later. Yes? She says, what if somebody is engaged in atyahara, collecting more than necessary, but they're dovetailing it by giving the fruits to Krishna? That's the way of dovetailing. It's good. It's good. Because prior to bhakti yoga comes karma yoga. And in karma yoga, one is attached to a particular type of work. And he also and he tends to be attached to the fruit of the work. But by giving some of the fruits to Krishna, he becomes detached from the fruits. And when he becomes completely detached, that is called Nishkam Karma Yoga. And that is considered the gateway to bhakti. But if someone is on the platform of bhakti, he should avoid it. But not everyone is really on the platform of pure bhakti. They may be on the platform of mixed bhakti, bhakti mixed with karma. So the karma part can be purified by sacrificing the fruits to Krishna. And then gradually he can come to pure bhakti. Is that all right?
This question is, if you don't have any karma, then you can be concerned that it's running. But if that's your
Yes.
We see that some devotee makes a mistake or tends to make the same mistake again and again. And we see that the devotee should be corrected. But at the same time, we're not free from envy. There could also be some malice mixed with our concern for the devotee or for the project. So again, by avoiding correcting the devotee, it doesn't mean the malice will go away. And by correcting the devotee, it doesn't mean the malice will go away either. The malice will go away by advancement in Krishna consciousness, you know, by purification, by introspection, and so on. So somehow, either by our own deliberation or in consultation with others, we should try to decide objectively whether it will be beneficial to say something to the devotee, and if so, how? Directly or through some other authority of the devotee or through some other friend of the devotee. So if we consult what is really the best for the devotee and the project and the movement, then there's more chances that the final decision will be based on Krishna consciousness rather than personal vendetta. And gradually, by engaging in service, the pure part remains and the impure part should disappear.
As far as Vaishnava opera is concerned, once I heard him say that actually Jiva opera is much more trying to distinguish what was devoted, what's not devoted, and so forth. Jiva opera.
Well, one of the items of devotional service mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion is one should not give pain to any living entity. So actually we should not be envious of any living entity. And we should not find fault with any living entity without reason. But Krishna and the holy name take offense, especially when we offend a devotee. So, although we shouldn't offend anyone, we shouldn't cause pain in the mind of any entity, but it is considered more painful to Krishna, because bhakti means to please Krishna, not to cause pain to Krishna. It is more painful for Krishna when a devotee is offended. And again, the higher the devotee is, or the more near and dear to Krishna the devotee is, the more Krishna feels pained when the devotee is blasphemed or offended.
And as one recognizes the quality of being excellent in Krishna, because other qualities are very valuable to recognize that it is very Krishna. How do one actually judge one's name in Krishna?
He's saying that one who is surrendered to Krishna is a devotee, even if he doesn't have other qualities. So how can we determine if one is surrendered to Krishna? Well, if he follows the process of surrender, tries to follow the process of surrender, he's surrendered. You know the process of surrender? Yesterday we mentioned the first two items, anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya vajanam, to accept what's ever favorable and reject whatever is not favorable. And therefore other. But the main one is to think that Krishna is one's guardian and protector, like a parent. And just like a child is surrendered to a parent, the devotee is surrendered to the Lord. That's the basic principle of surrender. And just as the child is obedient to the father, the devotee is obedient to the Lord. he obeys the orders of the Lord. So we will have to discuss surrender, the actual definition of surrender, as we go on. It's like an ocean. Bhakti Rasamrita, it's like an ocean. And this is just like, even one drop is an ocean. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.